Young and Father Dwayne Stenzel for the will of God during this Holy Week and the 4 o'clock hour of the Passion. Father?
Good morning to all of our listeners out there, and welcome again. And a special welcome to Father Dwayne, my confrere there at Radio Maria. Good morning, Father Dwayne, and welcome.
Welcome. It's good to be with another Franciscan proclaiming the good news, launching out into the deep.
That's right, here on this Holy Saturday.
Yes.
And wishing all of our listeners a very blessed and grace-filled Easter season, which begins tonight with the vigil. So today we'll be concluding our series on the Hours of the Passion by Luisa Picaretta. And we'll be concluding with the very final hour, the 4 p.m. hour, the burial of Jesus. So just before that, as we've been doing the last few weeks, we've been giving a little short introduction on Luisa's life and mission. And just before that, we'd like to begin with a prayer. So let us pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, divine will, and reign in us this day as we honor the burial of Jesus, and we rest with him on this Holy Saturday, this Sabbath of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the life, death, and resurrection that Jesus has won for us in all the acts of his own divine will reigning in his humanity. Father, we want to unite ourselves and all of our acts with everything that Jesus has suffered and done for us. We want to return all the love and the glory for those acts. And this morning we invite the divine will to come and reign in us in every thought and word and deed, and to think in our thinking and listen in our listening and speak in our speaking and breathe in our breathing, move in our motion, and just be a part of everything that we are and everything that we do, so that we can return that love and glory to the Father on behalf of each and every soul who will ever live. So come, divine will, and reign in us as you reign in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So just a very short comment about Luisa's life again here. Just, I'm not sure, I don't believe we covered this before, but in Luisa's life, she had a lot of extraordinary phenomena as a victim soul, things that would be unfamiliar to most of us, and perhaps even confusing at times to us because her life was so unusual. And we're not called to imitate her life in those ways, but to learn from her experience how we can live it in our own lives. And so Luisa, one of the things that would happen to her at night is that she would her body would become petrified and her soul would leave her body. And at that time, somewhere around midnight or early morning, Jesus would take her soul and bring her to various places on earth and even into heaven to learn about the mysteries of God's life and God's will, the way it's carried out in heaven and on earth. He would also show her tragic things that would be happening in the world or soon to happen, so that she could intercede and beg graces upon those events in world history. So Luisa's life was very much a life for souls, and everything that she experienced was to bring souls to God and God to souls. And that's a great example, I think, of what our lives should be, too. Sometimes we don't hear so much talk about souls, and yet it's the soul that gives God glory. And so with Luisa, we want to unite our lives and especially our sufferings to those of Jesus, for that was what he did for us, for all souls, to bring them to the Father, to make it possible for us to once again live the kingdom of heaven here on earth. So just that little bit about Luisa today, and to say that the only way she could have her soul return to her body was through the ministry of a priest. And a priest would have to come to her home in the morning. He would bless her. He would have to touch her by signing her with the cross on her forehead or her hand. And then her soul would return to her body, and the priest would celebrate Mass in her room for Luisa every day when that was possible. Sometimes the priests were not able to come, but when it was possible, the priest would be there. And Luisa had this great privilege by the order of two different popes. And so this was a great privilege for Luisa to have Mass celebrated in her room. And then with the reception of communion, she would have a very long meditation, sometimes 2 or 3 hours, in which Jesus would often speak to her interiorly and reveal many of these beautiful teachings and secrets of the kingdom that he wanted her to know and to share with us. So again, just a great gift that we have in little Louisa. And Jesus tells her in often in the volumes, he says, you know, it's little ones who can listen to me and are most attentive because their minds are not full of other things. And he says that very clearly to her in volume 20, that he says he wants his divine will to be all that fills us so that we're not distracted and confused by all kinds of other things going on around us, but that our attention, our focus, our concentration is with God and on his will and the way that it wants to act in every moment of our lives. So we pray that that will be with us today as well as we continue with the Hours of the Passion and conclude them today, this Holy Saturday. Father Duane will be continuing the next few weeks with some other teachings on the divine will for us. But today we conclude this series on the Hours of the Passion. So at this time, I'm here and today in a different town. I'm in Clearwater, Florida, with a group of the Divine Will devotees here, and I'm going to ask Teresa today to begin reading for us the 4 p.m. hour, The Burial of Jesus.
My Jesus, you are taken down from the cross, and your sorrowful mother is the first to receive you in her lap. Your pierced head rests gently in her arms. Oh, sweet mother, do not refuse my company. United with you, let me do my last duty to my loving Jesus. My sweetest mother, it is true that you surpass me in love and gentleness in touching my Jesus, but I will try to imitate you as best I can, to delight the adorable Jesus in all that I do. That is why I want to join my hands with your most holy hands, to remove all the thorns that crown his sacred head, and to unite your profound adoration to my own. Heavenly Mother, your hands make ready to clean the clotted blood from Jesus' eyes, those darkened and lifeless eyes that used to give light to the whole world. Oh, Mother, I unite myself with you. Let us kiss them together. I see the years of my Jesus covered in blood, bruised by blows and pierced with thorns. Oh, Mother, let us adore those ears that are no longer here. Let us adore those ears that have suffered so much, inviting countless deaf and stubborn souls with the call of grace. Oh, sweet Mother, I see your tearful and sorrowful eyes as you gaze at the mournful face of Jesus. I unite my sorrow to yours. Let us remove the mud and spittle which has nearly disfigured him. Let us adore that face which enamored heaven and earth with its divine majesty, which now gives no sign of life. Oh, sweet mother, let us kiss his mouth. Let us kiss that divine mouth which used the gentleness of his words to draw so many souls to his heart. Oh, mother, I want to take your very own mouth, to kiss his bruised and bloodied lips, and to adore them profoundly. Oh, my sweet mother, Jesus' body has become one great wound. I want to kiss it with you again and again. I want to join my hands with yours to put back the pieces of flesh that hang from his body as we adore them profoundly.
Thank you, Teresa. So we see how in these Hours of the Passion, as so often, Louisa very often unites with Mary in her acts. And it's a wonderful example to us that in all that we do, we can unite ourselves with our Blessed Mother in her own love for Jesus. Why? Because she has loved him more perfectly than any other creature on earth. And so with her, we can love Jesus more perfectly, not because of Mary, in a sense, herself and her humanity, but because the divine will reigned in her, and that divine will was loving God through her in a very perfect way. And so all of these acts of Mary are still, we could say, in act, because they are eternal acts. They're infinite and divine acts and universal acts reaching out to everyone. So when we unite ourselves with Jesus and Mary, we're we're really uniting ourselves with the divine life in them, which has that, we call it that trans-temporal, that eternal dimension. And that's why she can reverence the parts of Jesus' body, his corpus and death, with Mary, because those acts still go on, in a sense. They're eternal acts that Mary did to honor Jesus. And so we want to honor him as well, especially when there's so many in the world who do not honor him, but do the contrary. And so that's why she wants to honor his ears and his eyes and his mouth, because she's uniting with Mary. And if we can imagine Mary in that moment of receiving Jesus in her arms and then laying him in the tomb, with what devotion, what love, what adoration Mary performed that act. And so we give thanks for our Blessed Mother for allowing us to do this with her. And it's because she is our mother that Jesus gave her to us while he was on the cross, that we can have the grace to do this with her and the blessing. So these acts still go on, and we do them with our Blessed Mother and with all souls in the divine will today to make reparation for sin and for all the dishonor that Jesus receives. So now Father Duane is there to share with us also some of his reflections on this hour.
I want to begin with the very first sentence that was read. My Jesus, you are taken down from the cross, and your sorrowful mother is the first to receive you in her lap. In my hand, I have a relic of the true cross. I use this quite a bit in my ministry here at Radio Maria. I wonder what part of the true cross was seen. Do I have a splinter of the true cross that was seen outwardly? Did any of the blood of Jesus touch this relic of the true cross that I had? Did our Blessed Mother see this splinter that I have, a splinter of the true cross that I have here in my hand? So I want to begin with that, how precious are relics, and most especially the unique relic of the true cross. When I meditate on the true cross and Jesus hanging on the cross, dying on the cross, taken down from the cross, how I wonder about what part of the cross the splinter was part of. And the important thing is, though, that the cross as a whole was the instrument that Jesus died on. But then to continue on, what stands out in the meditation that we have heard so far is the word us. Oh, sweet mother, let us kiss his mouth. I unite myself with you. And therefore, in the heart and spirit of Luisa Picaretta, there was a oneness, a unity of heart that was very, very deep, feeling one with, flowing with the feeling, the prayer, the anguish of our Blessed Mother. What a tremendously deep experience this obviously was, and what closeness Luisa Picaretta had with the heart of our Blessed Mother, that their hearts became so intertwined, and as she was meditating on what took place on Calvary. And then, oh, my sweet mother, Jesus' body has become one great wound. It is my understanding that no artist could possibly paint what Jesus looked like when he was taken down from the cross and was there in the lap of our Blessed Mother. His body was so mangled, it was so hideous, that no artist could possibly paint it. And even if he could, wouldn't want to, because it was just so horrible, so wrenching even to look at it. And how this too came to mind in regard to Luisa Picaretta and her meditation on Jesus being taken down from the cross and identifying herself with our Blessed Mother. And what deep unity there was, as we have just heard, focusing upon the eyes of Jesus, the ears of Jesus, the face of Jesus, the mouth of Jesus, and what was going through the heart and mind of our Blessed Mother. And the more that we identify our hearts with our Blessed Mother's heart, the more that we become one with her, and the more that our love gets stronger and deeper for the Lord Jesus and what he did for each of us on Calvary in reparation for our sins. So these are some of the thoughts that have come to me in regard to what we have heard so far in regard to the burial of Jesus, Jesus being taken down from the cross, and our Blessed Mother holding him, and what was going through her heart and her mind and feelings. And so we'll get back to you, Father Robert.
Oh, thank you, Father Duane. And yes, it's so wonderful to think of Mary's heart as that place where the divine will reigned, and because the divine will reigned there, that she, as Jesus says, conceived all of us in her own heart, and that as she conceived Jesus, she has the capacity then and the divine will in her own heart to unite us, to help us to be united with Jesus. She bore him in her body and in her soul, and so she can help us to be there, and at the same time to bring all souls with us. It seems to me this is what I find so amazing and helpful in living our Christian life in the divine will, is that there's this place where it, within us, where we find God present and reigning, but also at the same time our Blessed Mother, Saint Joseph, all of the church, the angels, the saints, the poor souls in purgatory, the redeemed on earth, and they're all there with us, as you said in that word us, it includes everyone. And so just as Mary is mother to every soul who will ever be conceived, we can be too. In fact, Jesus tells Louisa, you're my mother as well. Jesus says it in the Gospels, the ones who do the will of my Father are mother, sister, and brother to me. So to be a mother with Mary of all of these souls, and to bring them into her heart and into the heart of Jesus, because the divine will reigns there, and it's through the divine will that we can reach them, we can be one with them. That's the principle in the communion of saints, if you will, that makes it possible for us to be united, to be one in that communion of saints, is the will of God reigning through the humanity of Jesus in the body of Christ. So we thank God for our Blessed Mother today on this Holy Saturday and all that she suffered with, through, and in Jesus for us, and invites us to share with her. So at this time, I'm going to ask Linda to continue now with the 4 p.m. hour.
Oh, Mother, let us kiss those creative hands that have worked so many prodigies for us, those pierced and twisted hands now cold and rigid in death. Oh, sweet Mother, let us enclose the destinies of all souls in these most holy wounds. When he rises from the dead, Jesus will find all the souls you have placed here, and none will be lost. Oh, Mother, let us adore these wounds, and with all souls, and in the name of all souls. O Heavenly Mother, you draw near to Jesus' poor feet to kiss them. How many torn wounds there are. The pierced nails have torn away part of the flesh and the skin, and the weight of his most sacred body has ripped them cruelly. Let us kiss these wounds and adore them profoundly. Let us enclose all the steps of sinners in the wounds of his feet. As they walk, may they feel Jesus' steps close behind them, and may they no longer dare to offend him. Oh, Mother, I see you fix your gaze on sweet Jesus' open heart. I beg you to bury and enclose me in his heart. What shall we do inside this heart? You will teach me, O mournful Mother. You will bury me inside it. You will cover it with a stone and seal me inside. And here, where I place my heart and my life, I shall hide for all eternity. O Mother, give me your love that I may love Jesus. Give me your sorrow to plead for everyone and to atone for every sin against his heart. O Mother, as you bury Jesus with your own hands, remember that I too want to be buried with him, so that after having been buried with Jesus, I may rise with him and all that is his. May it be like this. And now a word for you, oh most loving mother. I deeply pity you. If it were possible, with all the strength of my poor heart, I would gather your heartbeats, your desires, and the lives of all creatures, and I would lay them before you as an act of compassion and love. I suffer with you in your extreme sorrow at seeing Jesus die, crowned with thorns and torn by the whips and by the nails. I suffer with you upon seeing those eyes that no longer look at you, those ears that no longer hear your voice, and that mouth that no longer speaks to you. I pity you in your sorrow upon seeing those hands that no longer embrace you, and those feet that no longer follow you. If it were possible, I would like to offer you the very heart of Jesus, overflowing with love, to console you as you desire and to ease your most bitter pains.
Thank you, Linda. So there we have the conclusion of the 4 p.m. hour. We still have a reflection, which we will also read today for that hour. We've not been able to read them for many of the other hours, but today this is a short, rather short hour. And so we have so beautifully there Louisa concluding her meditation together with Mary and kind of compassionating Mary, being in communion with Mary over the loss of her son Jesus. And she says so beautifully, she says, let us enclose the destinies of all souls in these most holy wounds. As we say, through the wounds of Jesus we are healed. And so Louisa wants to bring everyone into, together with Mary, into this torn and the body of Jesus that's been so abused and so tortured. Why? Because in that body is found the salvation of everyone through all that he has suffered. And so like Louisa and Mary, we want to do the same thing. We want to bring all the wounded souls of humanity to unite them with the wounds of Jesus. It's a beautiful way for us to meditate during this Holy Week, how we can do that. And we do it by bringing our own woundedness. You know, every soul is wounded in one way or another by original sin and then by actual sin. And so all of us have wounds that need to be healed. And in the body of Christ, we find the healing for our wounds in the sacraments and in the precious blood of Jesus and in the prayers of the church and in all that God has given us through the church. And so Louisa continues, you know, going through this litany of adoration and reverencing and honoring the body of Jesus. It makes us perhaps reflect a bit on how do we do that? How do we reverence the body of Christ in the church? How do we reverence the body of Christ in ourselves and in our own bodies? And do we respect our own bodies and treat them with dignity and honor and respect? Do we treat the bodies of others with that same respect if we want to treat Jesus? Because he says, what you do to the least of these, you do to me. And so it's a great great reflection, I think, for us today to be reminded of the great dignity and the great beauty of the body, and also the great way that God asks us to reverence it and respect it in ourselves and in each other, for that's the way we honor the body of Christ. And so Father Duane is going to share also with us on this conclusion of the 4 p.m. hour. Father Duane.
Yes. One paragraph has for its topic sentence that Linda read, O Mother, I see you, fix your gaze on sweet Jesus' open heart. I find it interesting that Louisa does not talk about Mary fixing her gaze on the feet of Jesus, or the lips of Jesus, or the eyes of Jesus, or the ears of Jesus, but does fix her gaze. It's a longing and a long, long gaze, and looking at the heart of Jesus, his open heart pierced by a lance. And as I was looking, meditating upon this particular sentence, it just jumped out at me, and I began thinking what went through the mind and the heart of a Blessed Mother as she saw this pierced heart, pierced by a lance, heart of Jesus. I like to believe that one very outstanding thought that came here was, Jesus, you would never be alive unless you had this heart, because it was the heart of a person that keeps pumping blood to the rest of one's being. And so Jesus is now dead because the heart is dead. And if the heart was alive, why, Jesus would be alive, but the heart is now dead. And therefore, the awe and reverence of Blessed Mother had for the heart of Jesus, and how we have the verse 9 Fridays, the Sacred Heart of Jesus devotion, Jesus talking to St. Mark and Mary Alacoque, and the promises that Jesus makes to those who have special devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, particularly the verse 9 Fridays. But getting back to this topic sentence, O Mother, I see you fix your gaze on sweet Jesus' open heart. And then going from that, she says, I beg you to bury and enclose me in his heart. What shall I do? What shall we do inside his heart? And then she goes into hiding, being encased in the heart of Jesus, not only encased in, but being influenced by the heart of Jesus. How amazing it is that Luisa Picaretta is so concerned about souls of others, souls of the rest of the world. And therefore, her spirituality is not Jesus and me, and I'm not interested in the rest of the world. They have to take care of themselves. But I'm just so taken up with Jesus, so wonderful just to be with him. But how she is really concerned about souls of others, what happens to souls of others, because she identifies her heart with Jesus' heart, and Jesus' heart is so concerned about souls of others because he died on the cross to prove how concerned he was. And so this too is something that comes to me in regard to the meditation that we have on the burial of Jesus. Now, back to you, good Father.
Very good. Thank you for that. I especially appreciate that. That aspect of Luisa's devotion not being just for herself, but on behalf of all. And that, in fact, in that same paragraph a little bit later, she says, O Mother, give me your love that I may love Jesus. Give me your sorrow to plead for everyone and to atone for every sin against his heart. So that, again, Mary's love is perfect love because it's divine love. It's the love flowing from the divine will in her, as that love flowed from the heart of Jesus. And so when we ask for Mary's love, we're really asking for God's love. We're asking for divine love with which we can love Jesus. And when we love Jesus with his own love, and the love of the Father and the Holy Spirit, we're loving him with the love of an eternal love, an infinite universal love on behalf of everyone. And then that also brings blessings back to all of us, because it makes reparation to the Father, again, for all the sin that's been committed and the lack of love. If you think of our own lack of love and the lack of charity on the part of so many souls today in our world, especially towards the unborn, lack of love for the poor, lack of love for the dying, the hungry, that God calls us to share the love that he has for us with them. It's the very love of God himself that he wants us to give. And so she says, if it were possible, Luisa says to Mary, I would like to offer you the very heart of Jesus, overflowing with love itself, with that divine love to console our Blessed Mother and to ease her pains. So we do that. We want to do that for Mary, but also for everyone again. So now, just a second, we'll be having a little meditation music to reflect on this hour before we read the reflection that Luisa herself wrote at the request of St. Hannibal de Francia. At the conclusion of each hour, we have these very practical kinds of meditation reflections that give us some insights into how we might live the truths and the teaching that we've just learned in this hour. So, but first, let us listen for a moment for a little silent reflection with some music here.
Mm-hmm.
We'll continue with the reflection written for the end of the 4 p.m. hour, and this reflection will be read for us today by Nelson.
Jesus is buried. A rock secures him and prevents his mother from gazing upon his son any longer. Am I like one who is dead inside the heart of Jesus? Can I say that my heart is like a tomb that keeps me hidden from the eyes of creatures, and that I am indifferent, seeing that everyone has forgotten me? Once buried, no one glances at Jesus anymore. A stone hides him, and he can no longer gaze at his mother, nor can she gaze at her son. And though they are both holy, they can no longer gaze at each other. Now in holy things, do I remain indifferent with that holy detachment that does not allow me to be disobedient in anything? And though I may feel different affections until it seems that Jesus has completely abandoned me, do I conquer everything with a holy detachment that continually draws me to him? Can I say that yesterday is like today, and that though I may be rejected, still with my consistency, I form a sweet chain that draws him to me, so that I should I want to form a thought, I will take the life of my thinking from the thought of Jesus? Are my glances immersed in Jesus' glances in such a way that I only receive the glances that Jesus wants to give me, and I look at what Jesus looks at? Is my voice immersed in Jesus' voice in such a way that I should desire to speak, I would not do so unless I did it with Jesus' tongue? Are my steps immersed in his in such a way that as I walk, I do not leave the impressions of my own footprints, but those of Jesus? Is my heart immersed in his so that I am able to love and desire as his heart loves and desires? Oh, my Jesus, just as your life flows in the midst of ours and constantly spurs us to love you and imitate you, so may my life do for others. If Jesus is hidden, can I say that my sorrow is similar to the sorrow of the Most Holy Mother, and that while I suffer, am I bound more tightly to his heart? My mother, when Jesus hides himself from me for the good of my soul, grant me the grace that you had when you were deprived of him, so that I may give him all the glory that you gave him when he was buried in the sepulcher. As though your thought is ordered to think, do give me the thoughts from your mind, thus allowing my thoughts to share in your power and to do the good that your mind did. Jesus, as I look with your glances, do give me the power and the tenderness of your divine glances, thus allowing me to penetrate the hearts of all creatures. In this way, I will honor you, and I will be as if your glances looking inside of me and inside all souls attract all souls to you in the same way that you designed to attract my soul. Oh, Jesus, I pray with your voice, and just as your voice pierced the heavens and resounded in the voices of all, so may the voices of all creatures resound in my voice, to give honor to your voice, piercing the heavens to give glory and love to your word. My Jesus, my heart is beating, yet I am not happy unless you let my heart beat with yours. For with your heartbeat, I will love as you love. I will give you the love of all creatures and a singular cry that will ring out, love, love. I will satisfy the love of the Father and of all creatures, beseeching all creatures to convert. Therefore, O my Jesus, give me honor to yourself. On everything I do, imprint the seal of your power, your love, and your glory.
Thank you. Thank you, Nelson. So there we have the reflection for the 4 p.m. hour, and as you can see, it's a they're very beautiful. They were written later after the other parts of the Hours of the Passions were written. And so St. Hannibal felt that we needed a little more incentive to practice this way of life, and so he asked Louisa to write these reflections, and so we're indebted to St. Hannibal for them as well. But we have, again, Louisa speaking on behalf of all souls, and, you know, she says, am I like one who is dead inside the heart of Jesus? That may sound a bit strange to us. None of us want to be dead, but she's talking about an aspect of our spiritual life that's very important. We don't hear too much about it anymore, but it's a word called detachment. She says, can I just be hidden from the eyes of creatures as though everyone had forgotten me? Well, a lot of times we don't want to be forgotten, do we? We like attention. We like people to remember us, to think about us. That's a very human thing. But what this is saying is that in a more divine way, Jesus, you know, lived in the heart where his Father was with him. And so it wasn't that he was dead to the Father, but he wanted, in a sense, to live his life in complete union with the Father, which means Jesus and Mary had to live a kind of a hidden life. And we know that they did that for, certainly Jesus did, for 30 years. And he says, once buried, no one glances at Jesus anymore. The stone hides him. So Louisa says, can we, he can no longer see even his own mother, and she cannot see him. And so in holy things, do we also have that kind of hiddenness, that kind of indifference, even to the blessings of God? You know, that St. Teresa would say, we want the God of consolation, not the consolations of God. And so there's a certain indifference, a certain detachment that we need, even in holy things. And Jesus actually speaks of this quite often. And so we don't want to get so attached to the earth that we can't live the life of heaven on earth. It's a bit of a paradox, isn't it? Because the life of heaven is the life of the divine will reigning. And so we want to live the life of heaven, but as Jesus says, not to be consumed by the world or by earthly things or by the flesh, but in a way that we're free. And, you know, I find that, as Father Duane, I'm sure, would agree with me in our Franciscan life. St. Francis had this tremendous sense of freedom, a detachment from the world, so that he could live the life of heaven even here on earth, which he did so beautifully. So Louisa goes on then in this reflection to ask Jesus to let his life flow in her, and she asked that his sorrow be hers, that the sorrow similar to that of our Blessed Mother. She asked that Mary would hide Jesus within her and hide her in his heart. So in a sense, she's repeating the life of Jesus and Mary, because all that they did, again, is still there. It's still ongoing, this ongoing act in the divine will that we can unite ourselves with. And so, Father Duane, would you like to share something with us on this reflection?
Yes, how tremendously important detachment is. And on that particular point, in recent years, the Vatican indicated that if we wanted to receive a plenary indulgence in fulfilling the conditions, besides the prayers that are listed, and also receiving the sacrament of penance, one condition to receive a plenary indulgence is not to be attached to sin or any sin. And the Catechism talks about this, but very briefly. And sometimes people ask me, well, what does that mean, not to be attached to sin? And what I got in prayer was this. Picture the following. Here is the person who is addicted to pornography on the internet, or has some other kind of weakness that is very, very strong and just takes over at times. What the Vatican has to say in regard to attachment from sin, would be this. A person would say, I don't give in to this sin anymore because it ruins and destroys my relationship with Jesus. And I would commit mortal sin. And I don't want to commit mortal sin. And therefore, I have turned away from giving in to this sin. I made a firm purpose of amendment. But, if I could give in to this sin, boy, I sure would, because I really like this sin. Indicating the fact that there is still some attachment there. Indicating the fact that if I could, I would. But of course I can't, because I would find myself into such a mess. And so attachment to sin. I wish I could, but I can't, because I don't want to have to go to confession, or I don't want to ruin my reputation with others, or I don't want to interfere with my relationship with the Lord. Those are all kinds of things, good in themselves, but not quite enough. So this is what comes to mind in regard to what we are talking about. Also, secondly, how what has been read over and over and over again in the reflection on the fourth hour and other times too, how we are to imitate Mary's will, Mary's thoughts. And the more that we imitate Mary's thoughts, identify with her heart, the more that we do that, the more that we will spontaneously do so on our own. And therefore, uniting our heart with Mary's heart, thinking like she thinks, carrying out God's will as she did, the more and more that we do this, the more that we'll kind of get a hang of it, as it were, and we will be attracted to it. We realize that it's peace-giving, it's love-giving, and the more that we do that, the more attracted we will be to it, and the more that we will just, more or less, as a part of our lifestyle, go that particular direction. And pretty soon we just find ourselves spontaneously doing these things without any resolution or definite effort on our part. It's just kind of part of who we are. So those are two things that come to me.
So, yes, that's a wonderful reflection, Father, especially this part about, as you're saying, that it becomes kind of second nature, almost habitual to us, to want to live by the life of Jesus and Mary rather than our own. That's really, I think, what this is about.
Yes.
As you say, that part about, I take your thoughts in order to think. I take your love in order to love.
Mm-hmm.
I take your steps in order to walk, and your sorrow. That really, in a sense, we have nothing of our own.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever our attachments are false anyway, because they won't last.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only thing that lasts that we can have, in a sense, for eternity, is what belongs to God.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can, as you say, have that habitual way of thinking, of letting God's thoughts think themselves, think in us, of letting God's love love in us, God's words speak in us. That's really, as you say, gradually it becomes so second nature that we're living the life of God on earth, as the Catechism says, and to live all that Jesus lived and let him live it in us is the goal. And so that's a very helpful. The only other thing I was going to add is that this part just above that where Mary is praying, she says, my mother, when Jesus hides himself from me for the good of my soul, grant me the grace that you had when you were deprived of him. We may not think of Mary, having the privation of Jesus, but one of the mystics, Venerable Conchita, speaks about the martyrdom of solitude that our mother Mary suffered from the moment of the Ascension till her Assumption, that she suffered greatly from the absence of Jesus on earth. And so we too can suffer that absence. We too can feel sometimes, like Louisa did, that we're deprived of the presence of God or of Jesus or Mary. And so she's saying, give me the grace, because it is a grace to bear that patiently and even joyfully. And so we pray for souls who might be suffering, especially on this day. You know, the hiddenness of Jesus in the tomb is an image of the hiddenness of God sometimes in our own lives. We don't always feel him. We don't always see him. We feel lost or even abandoned, as even Jesus did on the cross. So it's an encouragement to us to know that our Blessed Mother felt that way, even herself, and that we can unite, though, that pain and that sorrow with them in the divine will. And then it actually can bring us joy. Why? Because it even brings us closer to God, brings us closer to the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord, and to what Mary herself suffered. It's a great consolation. So nothing in this world should separate us from God. Even the feeling of separated, being separated, cannot separate us from God. So, again, it's so encouraging to know that even though we're so powerless and so weak, so insufficient in ourselves to do anything pleasing to God, that God has lowered himself and humbled himself to come among us, to live among us with his own divine will, planting it in our own souls so that we can live the life of God, and only in that way can we give God true honor and glory and love on behalf of everyone.
On that point, I would like to butt in here and to say, those wives and mothers who have loved ones in Iraq, they understand in a very special way what our Blessed Mother experienced. Jesus left this earth, went on to heaven, and Blessed Mother knew that he was well, of course, but nevertheless wanted to be with him. So too, wives who have their husbands in Iraq, mothers who have their children in Iraq or Afghanistan or are in the armed forces, how they're very proud of their children, just like the Blessed Mother is so proud of her son Jesus and what he did, but nevertheless, the longing to be with one that we love more than anybody else, and the pain of the loss, only those who go through it really know and understand. The rest of us can merely guess what it is like, but the great heaviness of heart, and therefore what do you do with that heaviness of heart? And our Blessed Mother is source of wisdom, guidance, and how she can intercede for us and get the grace that we need to see much broader picture than the sacrifice that is being made, but all the good that is accomplished by being separated.
Yes. As you say, if perhaps only a mother knows, too, what that loss is when she loses a child, and what that grief can be. So it's a great suffering for many people who lose loved ones, and we can remember them all and bring them all to our Blessed Mother for her consolation.
And on that point, too, I'm very much involved with AA, with those who are addicted, and the loved ones naturally say, I've lost my son, I've lost my daughter, I've lost my husband, I've lost my wife. They have been taken over by something else that controls their life, and the sense of loss, I just can't talk to them. I might as well just talk to the wall. And the great anguish that parents have, great anguish that loved ones have when they have someone that is addicted to alcohol or to drugs, wherever the addiction might be, and the great pain that they go through, and how to be of help to these people, how to explain to them that really scolding and doing all kinds of things just doesn't work. This doesn't work. But, in fact, this past week I was at a meeting. There must have been about 40 men there at this particular meeting, those who were in the 12-step program. And they were in detox, and they had realized that they just can no longer go the route that they have been going for their own sake. But as I was there at the meeting, listening to what they had to say, the anguish and the pain in their heart, the pain in the hearts of their loved ones is even far, far greater, that they had just lost their sons to alcohol, drugs, and all kinds of other kinds of things. But do not stop loving, but to be open to encourage, and any good that they see, to compliment them and encourage them, and not to burn the bridge between them. And I'm sure, Brother Robert, you have, in your many years in the priesthood, have counseled with people who have lost someone because of drugs, alcohol, and started living a life that was just so so terrible, just so very, very, very terrible. Recall one story that I would like to share, a true story. The anguish that a mother and father had, their daughter ended up, it was her decision to be in a go-go place and a striptease place, and it just wrenched their hearts. And how interesting was what God did, His grace. They prayed, and how their prayer was answered in the following way. There was a soldier walking down the sidewalk, and he was a very godly man and a very prayerful man, but he felt very, very strong in his heart and spirit to stop in this go-go place. He said he never went to that kind of a place, but he just knew that he knew he had to go in there. So he went in there and just sat there, and as they were performing, and all of a sudden, one of the dancers came over to him and said, "I don't think I've seen you before." And he said, "No, I don't go to these kinds of places." But he said, "I want to ask you something." And he felt very prompted to say, "If you died right now, where would you spend eternity?" And she was open to hear that. She was disgusted with the kind of life that she was living. And she said, "Can I talk to you?" And he said, "Well, yes, of course." And so they went off to the side, and she said, "I want to get out of here. I don't like this life. I was raised to be a Christian, but I just have to do something about my life. And therefore, help me. And so they talked for a while, and he prayed with her, and she turned her life over to the Lord, gave her heart to the Lord, and so on. But how this young man heard the strong prompting of his heart. And so therefore, for those who are listening to this program today, if you have loved ones that you have lost because of drugs, because of all kinds of craziness going on in their life, don't give up. Keep praying and praying, and wait for the opportunity that the Lord gives you to reach out to them and to listen to them, have a listening heart and an encouraging heart. Yeah, what a story.
Yeah, and especially I think in those moments when one feels that they're, you know, powerless to love almost, that how do I love a person through this kind of situation, that only with the love of God and the forgiveness of God Himself, forgiveness of Christ and His love and mercy, that we're able to, really. That's our only hope sometimes, is that God loves through us.
Yes, and on that particular point, St. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, "I keep doing those things I don't want to. When I do, it is not I who do it, but an inclination to sin within me." And of course, we can rightly say, "St. Paul, you said, it is not I who do it. Well, it's not your grandma, it is you." And, he said, "Well, yes, but there's something that comes in and controls me. It just comes in and just takes over. And therefore, that's all part of the picture."
And on this point, we have one final reading that Rosie's going to read for us. And it really kind of, I think, summarizes some of this very beautifully for us. This is from the Book of Heaven, from Volume 20, April 16th, 1927. And this will, I think, bring us with some of the words from the Book of Heaven to a beautiful conclusion for our meditation on the hours of the Passion. Rosie.
"At last, I suffered myself to reflect upon the grief that had afflicted my sorrowful mother in separating herself from Jesus, placed in the sepulchre. I thought to myself, how could she ever have enough strength to leave me, although dead? However, was she not consumed by her maternal love? Before distancing herself from him a single step, yet she left him. What heroism did she not show? What fortitude? My daughter, my sweet Jesus, explained to me, do you want to know who gave my mother the strength to leave me? It was my will reigning in her. She lived by a will which was not human, but divine, and therefore contained in herself an immeasurable strength. Indeed, you must know that my transfixed mother, in the very instant in which she left me in the sepulchre, was held immersed by my will in two immense seas, one of sorrows and the other of joys and beatitudes. While that of sorrows obtained for her all martyrdom, that of joy let her enjoy all contentment."
Wow.
Thank you, Rosie. So we have, a wonderful conclusion there, to know that even our Blessed Mother, in her great sorrow and having to be deprived of Jesus in the tomb, also had had great joy, because certainly she knew deep in her heart that he would rise and that she would see him again. And it was the divine will, Jesus tells Louisa, that gave her the strength to be separated from him. So often in our own lives, it's only God and God's will and grace that can help us to have the strength to do what we have to do. And so we have that gift God wants to give us. And I just hope and pray that all of our listeners, especially those who may be new to this way of life, will find in the divine will all that we need, all that you need for your own lives and all the challenges and trials that you may have. That, you know, to remember that even the saints had very difficult lives, most of them, great trials, great tragedies and sorrows. Life doesn't have to be empty of those in order to be joyful. That the joy comes from something much deeper. It comes from our union with Christ and with our Blessed Mother, and especially in their own sorrows. And so as we conclude these hours of the Passion, we thank you all for being with us these days, these weeks, and to let you know again that if you have any questions, we'd be happy to receive them or comments. And you can send those to divinewillquestions@gmail.com. If you have anything to comment or ask us about, at divinewillquestions@gmail.com. And if you'd like to review any of the past broadcasts, you can find those in archive at divinewilltallahassee.com. divinewilltallahassee.com. You can find all of the archives of these recordings from Radio Maria on the Hours of the Passion, also Father Walter Tonelotto's recordings on the Holy Eucharist, which preceded them. So as we bring our program and this series to a close, we thank Father Duane for allowing us to be with you. And again, we wish you all a most blessed Easter and ask the divine will to reign on earth as in heaven in everything that we do. And just turn it over now to Father Duane for final words before we close.
Yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus, to this world, who came, lived, died, rose on the third day to give us eternal life. And as my brother, Father Franciscan, Father Robert, and I reach out our hand, we now bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a blessed Easter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God bless you all. Thank you.